Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Thinking about buying or selling a home? Well, you are in luck today. We have two real estate professionals in the studio to answer your questions. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here, and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District also here, or will be here shortly, to answer your questions. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. There are other ways to get in touch with us, such as email, right? Right? You can email us, right? voxpop@wamc.org if you have a question. voxpop@wamc.org. But the number, jot it down, 800-348-2551. Renata and Alexander, we talk real estate right after the news. Hello and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Are you buying or selling a home or residential property? Well, if you've never done it before, it can be a daunting process. And even if you have, it can be overwhelming. You're in luck today. We have two real estate professionals in the studio to answer your questions about the process of buying and selling a home. If we can get them to stop talking about Stormy Daniels, we'll be good to go. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. Alexander and Renata, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Nice to have you here. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. These real estate shows tend to really start percolating as it goes along, so it's best to get in line early. Well, you know, the Feds, there's all this talk about raising interest rates. Has that led to a certain fervor among the buying and selling public out there in real estate?
I don't believe so.
Well, we got a long time to talk about it, so why don't you make something up?
Well, I mean, Alex just mentioned that the Fed actually just seconds ago raised it, but we were also discussing that it's already been incorporated into the mortgage interest rates. So just because the Fed is raising it doesn't mean the interest rates are going to be affected right away.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think they've been creeping up a little bit over the last few months. So, you know, I think our buyers are anticipating that they'll probably continue to rise.
Yeah.
And that's pushing some buyers into the market for sure.
Winter traditionally sort of a down time. How's inventory right now?
It's tough. I think it's
really
at really historic lows. Yeah. In the last 7 or 8 years, I don't think we've seen inventory that's this low. And given that the stock market's doing well and interest rates are creeping up, it's a very tough market for buyers.
So this is a good time for you both. You're raking it in. New cars and everything? Pools and whatnot?
No. Well, we have a lot of buyers that we're working with. We can't necessarily find them. It's harder to find them a home.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding also is buyers are purchasing homes that may not be the perfect fit because they are nervous about where they're going to live, where they're going to go. So it's a tough market overall. Mm. You're having really good conversations with your clients to make sure that they're knowledgeable in what's going on, and when they make that decision, that it's ultimately they're driving that decision and they know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, and actually the Business Review just had an article that, you know, if you look at the total sales volume in the Capital Region in 2017, it was actually below the total sales volume in 2016.
Interesting.
And that's not because the market isn't hot. It's because there weren't enough homes for people to buy.
So that is really an interesting fact. We're joined today by Alexander Monticello, not Monticello Alexander, although that would be a hell of a name. Renata Lewis also here. Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about real estate or buying or selling a home, Susie in Western Mass. Susie, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm wondering what I actually have three questions, but I'm going to put them in order because I don't want to be piggy here. What is the major criteria you look for when you're choosing a real estate agent, especially in a rural area?
Okay, that's a good one.
I didn't hear the whole question. Okay, so, yeah, because
we're adjusting.
Volume.
We're not
I was
as headphones.
So go
what
ahead,
are you looking up. For in a real estate agent, especially in a rural area?
It's important that it is someone that's knowledgeable in the rural area. You are pricing it a little bit differently. The adjustments vary as far as the value. Someone that understands whether it's the zoning, agricultural, subdivision. I think there's a lot more to discuss, and it's more of a customized approach, I would say.
Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to get an understanding of how well they know the market, but also how are they going to market your property. And I always advise sellers the best way to determine how an agent is going to market your property is take a look at how they've marketed their other properties. That's a really good indication. And you can also, I think you want somebody who's going to be available, accessible, and be able to respond quickly, because ultimately it's about customer service.
Susie, you want to follow up? Okay.
Yeah, I had two other questions. I don't know whether...
Why not? Hell, why
okay.
not?
Okay.
We're here.
What are the disadvantages to listing the house yourself without an agent? And the third question is, what would be the special things to think about marketing a log house? And that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't all jump at once. You going to stay on the line, Susie, or you want to hang up?
I think I'm supposed to stay on the line, aren't I?
I would love you to stay on the line.
Okay.
Who's going?
Well, so for sale by owner is obviously a popular question, and it's very popular now in light of the fact that it is a seller's market. And so it's a common question that I've gotten on many listing appointments. I think ultimately, if you have the perfect buyer and the perfect house, and both parties are very agreeable and they both have a meeting of the minds on price, and there are no potential issues that may arise either on inspections or title or mortgage, then perhaps for sale by owner may work. But I think the advantage of getting a licensed realtor to assist you in the sale of your home is that they help minimize the risk. So if there is challenges with a mortgage or there are issues with an inspection or an appraisal, as those issues come up, the professional who's dealt with those on a regular basis can help navigate those waters.
You have an advocate. When we were buying a house, we had an oil tank that had been filled and submerged on our property years and years before.
Mm-hmm.
And our agent said, hey, look, you got to have the seller. You need a certificate or you cannot buy this house. And mm-hmm. we had to kind of play hardball, and it ended up happening.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the realtor will have a better understanding of what are the customs in certain situations and what's a fair way to negotiate the inspection issue or the mortgage issue.
Now, the log house. All right, you better recap the question. It's been a tough afternoon here, Susie. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just had a follow-up on this. A lawyer who is a real estate lawyer is not as good in what you just said, which was very useful, and I thank you. But a real estate lawyer couldn't do that, help minimize the risks?
Well, you could ask them if that's the role they would want to play. But typically, typically the attorney is not going to play. It typically wouldn't play that role. And then,
Yeah,
and then you'd have to also just be careful because an attorney actually can't act as the role of a real estate broker either. So you'd have to be a little careful
really?
About that.
Well, says who?
Well, at least in New York State.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. I'm a licensed attorney. I'm not allowed to act both as an attorney and a broker.
No, I'll be darned. All right, quickly, Susie, we got to move it along here.
This is a wonderful show, and I am so grateful. The last question is, what specific marketing things might you consider when you are selling a log house?
Okay. We'll let you go now, and we'll hear that answer.
Okay. Well, as far as the marketing pieces, you really want to target the right buyer. So you really want to have full disclosure in what the log house is about, maybe maintenance issues. There's a lot of questions when it comes to a unique property that you really want to disclose as much as you can to the buyers so they're able to go in there and not have any fears as far as what it's all about. At the same time, you also want to market to an online buyer because that's where they all are. So that
buyers of log homes are online.
Well, any buyer is online.
Oh, I see what you mean.
The exposure to find that right buyer, because it is more of a narrow buyer mindset. Mm. It's a unique property. You want to make sure that you find them. So having that exposure on the internet is crucial, whether it's social media or whatnot, and that's where also an agent could help you most with.
All right, let's take a break here. Our guests today, Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's the Real Estate Show, and we'll get it moving. Now, we'll really pick up the pace after this break.
Support for WMC comes from Slide and Dirty, serving handcrafted sliders, pub fare, and variety of craft beers and spirits in downtown Troy and Schenectady. Trivia every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Food truck catering available for events. Slideanddirty.com. Capital Car Share, a car sharing network offering a fleet of eco-friendly vehicles for neighborhood transportation. 24-hour reservations available online. CapitalCarShare.org for donations and information. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. And Woodstock Book Fest, Woodstock, New York. Featuring intensives, story slams, panels, keynotes, and more, March 22nd through 25th. Read to Resist, WoodstockBookFest.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, joined today by Alexander Monticello and Monticello Alexander and Renata Lewis at 800-348-2551. This one came in via email, and then we'll get back to the phones. This is from Rosemary in Springfield. Does having an agreement with an agent as a buyer limit my ability to contact a seller's agent? I'm interested in details about a residential property that they've listed for sale. I'm not making an offer, and my agent isn't getting back to me on this, so appreciate your advice.
Of course you could contact the seller if you'd like. You should, by just your agreement with the buyer, I mean with the buyer's agent, let the seller know that you are working with a buyer agent.
Right.
This way they can have that understanding. And by law, you can ask any questions that you like, whether it's an open house or I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
It's
okay, yeah, to
it
do
is.
This.
It
okay.
is, yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones and Eric in Burnt Hills. Eric, you're on.
Yes, my question is, I'm recently starting a divorce procedure, and I have a residence here in New York, which is our primary, and one in Florida that we're going to be offloading. And I'm curious, what are my tax implications, and should I have two separate agents?
Oh, okay. I don't know if these guys can answer this, but we'll see what happens.
You know, I think as far as the agents go, I would think you'd probably want an agent for your New York property and your Florida property. Is that the question?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would think you'd want an agent who understands the New York market and then an agent who understands the Florida market. The tax implications, I think I'm really out of my league. Probably not able to answer that. A lot of it depends on if it's your primary residence, if you've got a profit on it, if you've rented it out or used it for any business interest. But if it generally,
the Florida is just a vacation that we don't charge friends and family to stay in it because we stay in it about 3 months a year.
Yeah, I think the general rule is if it's your primary residence or a second home and you haven't used it for business or rental income and your profit is less than, I think, $500,000, it's generally tax exempt.
Okay. Renata, you want to chime in here? Okay. Well, Eric, good luck. Thank you for the call. And let's go over to Ray in Western Massachusetts. Ray, you're on.
Hi. I've bought and sold a couple of homes over the years. Using an agent, and you know, they worked on commission. And I read an article a little while back about realtors, mostly out west, I guess, just selling homes with just a fixed fee instead of commission. You know, listing your house and doing everything for a fixed fee. And I know a few guys that sell real estate around here, and they, I don't know, they're not saying it's catching on. I was wondering what's the deal with
fixed
that is catching on around the East.
A prefix menu. Okay, what do we got here?
Well, in New York State, in New York State, there isn't a fixed commission. It's not legal to have a fixed commission.
It's a percentage based.
So whenever you speak to an agent, you know, I work with a customized commission or a fee. So it really is, what do you need from me? How are we going to work together as a team? You know, what do I need to do to prepare the house for the market? How long do we anticipate to have it on the market? The marketing plan that we choose together. So it really is a customized fee that you can work with your agent depending on, you know, who they are and what they're willing to do.
Thanks, Ray. If I was an agent and I heard that out west they are doing set fees, I would be terrified. I think this would be terrible for your line of work.
I'm terrified every day, Ray. Amazon is rumored to be getting into the potential business of selling real estate services.
Well, I'll be darned.
So, I mean, that could be in a year, it could be in 5 years. But yeah, there's a lot of disruption. There's a company called Redfin, which is doing this kind of fixed fee system where they actually, the realtors are put on salary.
Okay.
And they're actual employees.
Right. Well, let's not get sued. I mean, let's not say anything terrible.
Well, yeah? Ultimately, I tell anybody, you're hiring a professional. So, you know, when you're speaking to whether it's a painter or a doctor or a lawyer, what are you choosing for them to do? What do you anticipate? What are your expectations? And bottom line is you get what you pay for. End of story. So that's how I feel.
Back to the phones we go. Glenn is somewhere in New York. Glenn, where are you calling from?
Russia, actually. New York.
Oh, Russia, New York. Well, welcome to the
show. Yeah. No relation to the other one.
That's fine.
Anyways, my question is, when you go in to appraise a home, is there a standard checklist you use, like from 1 to 10, I start with this location, or how do you standardly approve or appraise a home?
Well, that's the million-dollar question.
Right.
Yeah. Well, do you start with, like, number one, we look at this, number two, three, something like that?
And can you get a second opinion?
Yeah, so you can always get a second, third, or fourth opinion. It's probably not a bad idea, but typically what we would do is before we enter the property, we'll have a conversation with you, learn about what kind of improvements you've made, and then we would do a market analysis. We'd look at similar properties in that neighborhood, that school district, similar condition, size, and look at what they're selling for over the last 6 to 9 months. And then we walk into your house, we would look primarily at the condition. How does the overall condition compare to the other houses that have sold? And when you look at condition, some of the main components would be kitchens and baths. Those are some of the most expensive areas. And then flooring. And then, you know, the mechanicals, if you've made any sort of improvements to the mechanicals. That would be the rough checklist.
Okay. I've seen properties around here and talked to owners. And there's some pretty nice homes, and they said, we know we're pricing high. We know we're going to price high. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? I'm just like, why would you even bother?
That's a great question, and we've talked about it on this program before. There are some real disadvantages to pricing your house too high.
Well,
I think properties around here, sit 1-2 years and they won't come down. I'm like, whatever, you're not going to sell it, I guess.
Go ahead, Renata.
It really comes down to motivation. If somebody's just really waiting for that buyer to come in and say, I'll give you what you want, ultimately, we are selling a lot of these properties to the bank, unless it's a cash deal, so that appraisal has to make sense. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to backfire during the appraisal phase, and we're going to be short on it, and there's going to be issues. Buyers are lost or money's lost. It really is important not only to assess the value, you know, the appraisal comes in, which is a little bit more detailed, and it needs to come in at the price.
All right, Glenn, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis, and we talk real estate today. That's right. Have a Kleenex. And by the way, turn your microphone off before you blow your nose, Alex. Let's go over to line 5 and Bill in Kingston. Bill, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When selling listing a house with an agent, you have a, you know, some kind of written agreement. Now, if I find my own buyer, am I still obligated to pay the commission?
There is an agreement, and I believe in Kingston it's the same. Ulster County, right? Ulster is a Green County, Columbia County.
Yeah, it's Ulster.
Yeah. So different counties may have different agreements. Overall, the agreement will have two specific business relationships. And one is the exclusive right to sell, which no matter what you, who finds the buyer, that broker and that agent will still get paid the commission. What's the other one, Alex?
Exclusive right to sell and exclusive right to list.
All right. The exclusive right to list allows the agent to list. She or he may not necessarily get paid if they do not find the buyer, if they don't procure the buyer. So if you were to procure that buyer, you would not have to pay that commission.
Okay. So
read the contract.
The agreement says that, in other words, you signed an agreement. You're saying, okay, I agree to pay the, 6% or whatever. But like, I think there was two parts to your answer. What you're saying is that it depends on the agreement. Like, if I find my own buyer today, and I sell the house, in a week, I still got to pay the commission. I think that's a fair statement.
Yes and no. The agreement at the end of the agreement is going to have a check mark of which agreement you are actually agreeing to with that agent. And if it's an exclusive right to sell, which is really the only thing I would work with, because if I'm spending my money
the broker and the agent have the exclusive right to sell.
Right. Then if you find a buyer, that's when I have the conversation. Doesn't matter if you find a buyer, if your daughter finds a buyer, if the neighbor finds a buyer. In fact, I'm going to ask you to help me market. I'm going to send you in so you can share on Facebook and everywhere else. We're selling the house together. We're a team.
Right. And how long does the agreement usually go for? I mean, it's a year or 2 months or how long is that agreement? That's the question, right? If you find a good buyer, you can always just wait it out, right?
What do you mean?
Now, I have one more question, though. The other question I have, though, is that if I say, can you make a reduce the commission, and but the broker says, hey, okay, maybe I'll reduce the commission, but if the sales agent is not in agreement, is there a remedy to that?
So you mean the buyer's agent if she's not in agreement? Or the listing agent?
No, if the seller's agent is not the agreement is with the seller's agent.
Right.
Okay. So when the seller says, hey, reduce the commission, now if the sales agent does not agree, is there a remedy for that? Like for example, if the broker reduces the commission, but does the broker and the sales agent both have to, who has the authority to make a change?
Ultimately, it is the broker because we are working for the broker. So when we sign an agreement, say just for the purposes of just the show, say it's a 6% commission, we have to offer a buyer agency as well. So say the buyer agency is 2.5% and then the rest stays with the broker and the agent. Should the agent decide to negotiate, she's not pulling it from the buyer agency. She's going to be pulling it from the seller side. The broker does have to authorize that.
Okay. Does that happen?
It could happen in certain negotiations. It does get tricky. Again, unless that agent is representing themselves as their own broker, an associate broker, or they own their own business, we do have to go back to our broker and technically get permission to work on these commissions.
It seems to be an agreement is an agreement. Why would you as the agent be willing to say, okay, well, yeah, you can lop off 2% on this. Why? Why would you want to do that?
I always say, if they can't protect their own commission, how are they going to be negotiating for you? So it really is an agreement. Like you said, it should stick. There should be no other negotiations past that scenario. Has it happened before? Yes.
Yeah.
Under different circumstances. You really want to make the deal come together once in a while. It should not be an expectation.
I agree.
Okay, you're staying out of this. All right, Monticello Alexander, 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go over to Fluffy.
Has it happened before? Yes.
Hey, Fluffy, you got to turn the radio down. Oh, boy. Okay, that's it. You know what?
Call us back, Fluffy.
First of all, Fluffy, we apologize for that, but you can't have your radio up, and you got to be ready to go, and we're sorry. Zach in Marlboro. Zach, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you guys could tell me what the average cost of a mortgage would be to get a house in the Hudson Valley, like a mid-sized house, 1,500, 2,000 square feet on around an acre, acre and a half of land.
What do you mean by the average cost to apply for a mortgage? Or
size of the mortgage I would need, like how much of a mortgage.
How much does the house cost?
Well, yeah, exactly. It depends on the cost of the house. Do you know what the house would cost?
Well, I think that's what he's asking.
Oh, that's what you're
asking.
The
average price of, say, a 1,500 square foot house in the Hudson Valley.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I could even answer that question. Hudson Valley is a big area, and it probably depends greatly on the neighborhood. It could vary from town to town, city to city, school district to school district.
It also depends on the type of mortgage he's working with. If you're working a conventional mortgage and you want to put 20% down, then it's going to cost you 20%. You could be working with a 5% conventional, so you're only putting 5% down. VA, FHA, you know, rural USDA, you could go in with 100% financing, which means it's not going to cost you anything.
Right.
And then you're just really concentrating on
It's going to cost you something.
Well, yeah, the mortgage. So you're looking at the closing costs only with some of these mortgages.
Okay. All right, Zach, thank you very much. That's a tough one to answer.
Yeah.
There's so many different neighborhoods and everything else. Let's go over to line one. We've cycled back through Kathy in Woodstock. Kathy, you're on.
Yes, hello. Thank you, panel. I am doing some cleaning out of a friend's house who lives in San Francisco. And there are many things that need to be done still, like a lot of things. The yard needs upkeep, closets. Basements cleaned out, et cetera. Well, and this is a $500,000 property, but the realtors are in a huge, gigantic hurry to get this to market, and I don't understand why they wouldn't wait until the property looked its best before going forward with listing it and showing it. Any ideas?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately what you might want to do is interview multiple realtors and find somebody who's going to be patient and willing to get the property ready. But did you say a $500,000 property in San Francisco? That sounds really low to me.
Oh, no. The owner's son, it's his dad's house here. The owner's son who's handling everything lives in San Francisco.
Right.
This is a Columbia County
house. Oh, it's around here. I see.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't make myself clear.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I would, you know, that's the good reason to interview multiple realtors and find a realtor that you feel most comfortable with who's going to be patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a good realtor will recognize that you don't want to rush a house to market if it's not ready. Because you can get a lot more for the house if it's in good showing condition.
Of course, and he's already gone to contract with this. I will never mention the name, but
good.
They're a very high-end realtor, and I'm just absolutely blown away that they would want to show a property that's clearly not ready to be shown.
All right.
So it's time for another realtor, I suppose.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk real estate today with Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis. And we have time for at least one more here before the next break. We go over to line 8 and Gary in Ghent. Hello, Gary.
Good afternoon, Ray and company. Good show.
Thank you.
Quick question about manufactured housing. I have a double wide on an acre and a quarter of property on top of a hill in a cul-de-sac. So there's only 5 other places in the cul-de-sac here. From what I understand, it is very, very arduous trying to sell a home, even if it's on private property, manufactured housing, and in particular, very, very difficult to get anybody to write a mortgage for manufactured housing.
Why would that be the case, especially if it's property that is owned? Renata?
Well, I think it stemmed from mobile homes, that they could actually be moved. I think the law is very old, and they really should revisit changing it. But you are 100% correct. It is very difficult to find a lender who will finance a double wide. So the goal would be to investigate and find somebody that will finance this. So when you're ready to sell it, they could, you know, you could kind of package it together and have that lender help you market this and show the future potential buyers what they're willing to do and that there is an option.
Okay. The follow-up, I guess, to that is obviously by your statement of the laws are very old. Yeah, you're not going to move this mobile home. It's on a slab.
Right.
Everything's tied in.
We understand.
You know, there's no way that it'll ever be moved.
Yeah.
But and from what I understand, the other piece is that I have more money into this place than I suspect I will ever get out of it.
Well, that's always part of the equation.
You know,
I'm sorry.
That's always part of the equation for sure.
Have you spoken with a realtor yet?
I have not spoken with a realtor yet. These are just kind of things that I've been hearing about. Also, the fact that if you do find a lender to write the mortgage for the place, that the interest rate is typically higher on manufactured housing mortgages.
Weird.
Truth to that?
I haven't financed one in a while, so I can't answer that. I would have to agree, just from past experience, that I've encountered several challenges in working with one. I don't know exactly where the interest rates would be at this point, but I believe what Alex was trying to say, if anything, get an agent in there and help you value where the home is worth, see where you are in retrospect as far as what you owe on it, and you know, maybe they can help you throughout the next few years prepare it to market and hopefully get some of your money back.
Gary, thanks a lot for the call. We have to take a quick break here. Renata Lewis is here and Alexander Monticello, and the home stretch is straight ahead on our Real Estate Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMT comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wine, and cocktails. Live music every Friday. ChesterCommonTable.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art, VisionExcelEyeCare.com. And Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting the film The Ritchie Boys, Sunday, March 25th, 7 p.m., at Davis Auditorium, Skidmore College, Saratoga Springs, 518-584-8730, option 2 for reservations.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. We'll get right back to the phones. We have some email with math in it, and it's making my producer's head spin, and I'm looking at it, and it's making my head spin. So we'll start with the first email that doesn't have any math. This one says, buyers versus sellers agents. We sold a house in one day. We're thankful, says Ella in Claremont. But we then learned that the buyers were represented by another agent in the same firm. The firm had set the price and pushed back when we wanted to raise it, but we prevailed. We ended up feeling like this was a setup and unethical at best. Your response? It's history, but we'd like your opinion on this.
Well, that is a...
Don't they have to disclose
dual,
this?
It is. That was the mistake. I was trying to think of what I wanted to say. It definitely was a mistake that that business relationship was not disclosed. So anytime there is a change in business relationship, it is a conflict and you have to chat about it and everybody should be notified. Dual agency with designated agents is something that is allowed, and as long as it's, again, disclosed, our New York State Disclosure Agency will show, hey, I'm representing the buyer. However, should we buy a house where the sellers are represented by the same broker, it's the same umbrella, the same brokerage, however, we have designated agents that are representing each side. So I think the biggest conflict here is no one was notified according to your email.
Okay.
So that is not correct, and it should have been done differently.
Yeah, I mean, we I have a small firm, so this doesn't come up as often, but it's very common in a big company where you're going to have agents on both sides, and it's important, as Renata said, that it's disclosed up
Everybody's got to know. This one is from Amanda in Troy. Real estate question for the show. Well, glad you got it to us. This is renting versus buying. I'd like to buy a house this summer, but plan to move from this area in 2.5 years. Budget to purchase, $350,000. Budget to rent, $2,000 a month. Is buying reasonable? What are the pros and cons of buying versus renting for this finite time frame? And that's from Amanda in Troy.
You know, I heard that Zillow did a study and said that if the break-even point, I think in our area, is about 2 years. So if you're going to live in the area for less than 2 years, it's advisable to rent. If you're going to be here for a little bit more than 2 years, it may be advisable to buy.
Okay.
I guess this person is going to be here for 2.5 years. I guess it would be a tough call. If you're if you know you're definitively going to leave in 2.5 years, it might make sense just to rent. If there's a chance you could be here longer, 3 or 4, then maybe it makes sense to buy.
Agree. I think that we need to just think about the closing costs also associated with the purchase of a home. So if you're building equity and it's a forced savings, and I am a true proponent of definitely buy instead of rent. However, if you know you're not going to stay there long enough, do take into the consideration of the closing costs that are going to come into play, because you probably will not get those back if you're moving that quickly.
All right. This one's from JVBP, excess commission justification. If we sell our $500,000 house at 5% commission of $25,000 and our $700,000 house at 5% commission for $35,000, how does the real estate broker justify the $10,000 additional income in terms of additional costs or efforts?
Yikes.
There'll be a test on this. You want to hear it again?
No.
Do you get the gist?
Yeah, I get the gist. I guess that's a good question for the realtor, but it may come down to the marketing that they're doing for the property. You know, I don't know if they're doing more marketing on the $700,000 home that would justify the increased cost.
It definitely is. It's the marketing. It's the exposure. How long does it take us to prepare the home? How long do we anticipate it to stay on the market? The more of a luxury home, and again, the area is very different as well. $750,000 house in our local area may take 6+ months to sell. So we are not just sitting there waiting for it to, for a buyer to just show up. We are actively marketing, spending money, social media, boosting ads. So is it $35,000? I don't know. Remember, we're paying a buyer agency fee as well, which goes to the buyer agent.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something to discuss.
I will give you both 3 points for understanding the question. Well done. Let's go back to the phones. And Ken in Poughkeepsie. Ken, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a question about seller's concession. So say I sell a house for $100,000, and the buyer's not really happy with that, and he asks for a concession. Maybe I'll pay his closing costs, $8,000. So then he goes to the bank, and he represents that the house sold for $100,000, and he gets a mortgage, which is clearly underwater before the get-go. And to that extent, the bank was defrauded because it thought the price was $100,000 when actually nobody paid $100,000. The seller only paid $92,000. My question is, does the bank have redress against me, the seller, for the fraud which was perpetrated against the bank?
Well, let me just add that the seller concessions are pretty common, and oftentimes they are itemized on the contract. So I would just say that if the seller concession is itemized on the contract and that contract's shared with the bank,
it's
legitimate and there's no fraud involved, and that's a very common occurrence. If you're giving the buyer $8,000 outside of the contract and not telling anybody about it, including the bank, yet you might want to talk to an attorney.
Oh, boy.
Well, the seller's concession, I think, is also misunderstood. Different states offer different ways of writing the seller's concession in. In New York, that buyer is technically mortgaging and borrowing an additional, say, 6% of seller's concession into their mortgage. And the way the contract is written, that that house has to appraise for the additional money. So the bank knows that, say, the house sold for $100,000. However, you as a seller are agreeing to accept $92,000, even though you're not technically giving them that money. They're mortgaging it.
Right.
And they're just pulling it out at the closing table. The seller has to concede that $8,000 because the contract actually will say the full $100,000.
All right. Well, Ken, thanks a lot for the call. I can't hang up on Ken. So, Ken, thanks very much. Okay, whoa, there we go. That worked. Sorry, Zach. Everything went kablooey on the phone, so I have no idea who's next. We'll just take one at random, shall we? And we'll go to Chad in Delmar. Chad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Thanks for taking my phone call. I've got, sure, I guess, maybe a two-part question. My wife and I are relocating to the Albany area, specifically Delmar, and we keep hearing it's a seller's market. And we're also noticing there isn't really a lot available. I don't know if those two are related, but I guess more to the point, what is this? Why? What makes a seller's market, specifically maybe in our area?
I love it.
Well, a seller's market basically is, so if there's less than 6 months of inventory out there, we call it a seller's market. So right now there's a higher buyer demand than there is listings out there that are available for sale. So seller's market, I guess we can say that the sellers have a little bit of a stronger role right now. We can push the market a little bit as far as prices, and the inventory is not staying on the market very long. So as a buyer right now, you want to make sure that you are working with somebody that's keeping you active on all the latest inventory, because there's a good chance it's going to move. It's going to move quickly. It's, yeah, going to move in multiple offer situation and be off the market. Right. So this is why there's not a lot of inventory that you're seeing that's active.
How do they say, well, we have 6 months? I mean, how do you set that average?
Well, yeah, the month supply of inventory number, they look at how many homes are on the market and the rate at which they're selling.
Right.
And so if there's 6 months supply of inventory at the current rate at which houses are selling, it will take 6 months to exhaust
that
inventory.
What's the current rate is my point.
The current month supply of inventory is around 4 months supply of inventory. Yeah. You mean what's the rate? The rate at which homes are selling.
Yeah.
How many homes are selling?
Yeah.
How many homes are selling a month?
Yes.
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I know the month supply of inventory is 4 months.
Yeah. Which is low.
Which is very low.
So you know that it's 4 months, but you don't know how many per month.
And I believe in Delmar it's even less than that. I sell in Bethlehem.
Oh, not another email. Thank you, Jim Lavoulis. I hope there's no math in this one. Let's go to line three, and Ann in Albany. Ann, you're on.
Hi. I'm interested in a house that Zillow reports has been foreclosed. What are the issues about purchasing a property like that?
The foreclosure has a lot of risk on the buyer. The bank pretty much says you're buying it as is. When it comes to doing a home inspection, it's really for your eyes only. There's very little that the bank will concede on or fix for you. Title issues, delinquencies, you know, tax delinquencies. You want to make sure you have a strong attorney that can look all that up. So just really a lot more risk on you, the buyer. Buyer beware. Do your due diligence and hire the right professionals to help you through it.
Is that why sometimes you see a foreclosed property just sit there and nothing happens with it?
Yes and no. By the time a foreclosure actually hits the market, it's many times has been sitting vacant. A lot of red tape involved.
Yeah.
The banks are still not great in spinning these guys around and putting them out on the market.
Every once in a thank you, Ann. Every once in a while, you see a sign that says short sale. What does that mean?
You want to take it? No.
Short sale is
somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Short sale.
I felt like I was talking.
Going to try
so.
To make a joke
because
I'm short.
Oh, I see.
Come up
I
with
see.
A joke.
We love
the
you.
Short sale is when the seller who's selling the property essentially owes more on the house than the house is worth. So the bank is going to be short on basically the mortgage payoff.
Now, why would the bank say okay?
Well, the bank says okay because it sometimes can cost a lot more money to foreclose on the property.
I see.
And while they're trying to foreclose, the property deteriorates. So if somebody has a $200,000 house and they owe $220,000 in their mortgage and they can't make their payments and the bank knows that the house is deteriorating, the bank will say, okay, we agree to sell the house for $200,000.
Will the bank initiate that, or will the sellers, house owner's attorney say, hey, listen, I got a deal for you, Mr. Banker?
Usually the seller will initiate because the seller will be delinquent in payments.
Yeah.
The bank may suggest it, but ultimately the sellers in a short sale have to agree.
All right. Oh, boy. I have no idea. Okay. One, says Carol Lapani. Matt in Port Ewan. Matt, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a quick question. My mother passed away in late November, and I'm currently the executor of the will, and there's four children all together, and my mom's last wish is that all four of us got the house divided equally. So my question is, do you think, because it seems to be a seller's market out there, should I try selling it for sale by owner to maximize the profit for my family, or should I list it with a real estate agent right away?
Well, you're going to be talking to two realtors in a moment, so let's find out what the answer is.
Well, it really depends on the condition of the house, where it's located, what you think the value is worth. If anything, meet with an agent just to get an estimated value of the home. Get an idea of what it would take to procure a buyer. You know, there's just, it's every house is different when it comes to listings. And you just want to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position where you're going to lose out on a strong spring market, hoping to sell it on your own and not be able to.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Matt. We appreciate it. And good luck. A lot of times when you're in a situation where you're left a house like that and there are multiple people involved, bad blood can ensue. So I hope everything goes well for you. You're saying line five, Carol? This is like the old times. Just put it on a piece of paper on the glass. Well, I got to say, line five has no name attached. So, hello, no name. Who is this?
Well, this is No Name George.
Hi, George.
Hey,
you're
George.
On the air. Go ahead.
Quick comment. A caller earlier had a mobile home issue. My in-laws in North Carolina had a mobile home, and if you take off or cut off the hitch, if your mobile home still has a hitch onto it, if you cut that off, it's no longer considered a mobile home, and therefore you qualify for whatever mortgages or whatever else you're looking for.
Okay.
That was my comment on that. But now my question.
All right.
Two people own a home. Two people are on the deed. One person is the signer of the mortgage. One person is the co-signer of the mortgage. Both people, not married, are now separating. They both want, one person is staying in the house. What's involved with the paperwork? Just to leave one person on the deed, one person on the mortgage. Can they keep that same mortgage? Is it just simply, some quick and easy paperwork, or is it more involved than that?
Okay.
Well, the deed, right, you'd have to execute a new deed to file, to remove one of
the
owners from the title. But then the other part with respect to the mortgage, you'd want to talk to your lender, but more than likely you may have to refinance that mortgage to get the one borrower off or the co-borrower.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that, George. And we only have about a minute and a half here. So rather than go to the phones, which are a little sketchy at the moment, we'll read this email that came in. And this one's from Mary Alice in Clifton Park, who says, great show. My response is, are you sure you have the right radio station? The first question is, when looking to move to a new area, what online resources do you recommend someone use to learn about an area and home and hone in on towns on which they may want to target their house search? That's the first one. 30 seconds. You, Alex.
Well, I'd say you can Google the town, try to find some blogs, community blogs, neighborhood blogs, but also obviously reach out to some realtors because the real estate agents will be neighborhood experts, so they could be good resources for you.
All right, that was 12 seconds. Well done. All right, Renata, this one's for you. Should you even bother trying to find a new home before your listed house sells? What are typical time frames in the market these days?
That's a tough question. It really depends on the market that you're at. We typically say go ahead and put your house on the market. You could make a condition saying we want to condition that you have time to find a home before you actually close on this. Listen, the way I look at it, sell the house, have a plan B, put the money in the bank, then you have a very strong negotiation. You're a good buyer, a solid buyer when negotiating for a house that you're going to be purchasing.
All right, Renata Lewis, how do people find you on the internet?
Renatashomes.com.
And how about you, Alexander Monticello?
You can find us at MonticelloNYS.com.
Well, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Ray.
Support comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. Interim Healthcare for 47 years, helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the greater capital region, Columbia and Saratoga counties, and Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting fine art animals from the collection of the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie through October 21st. More at arkellmuseum.org. Thanks again to Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis for joining us today. Thank you for listening and for the great calls and emails. Zach Malloy has been our engineer. Your calls were answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we welcome back the science panel for the Science Forum. So do some homework. Go on the internet. Find a science question. Let's try to stump the band. It starts tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for news.